Today's daf is Samach Vav. We're holding on the last two lines of Samach Hei on the base. Tani Tana Kamedu Rava, Mitziyata Isha La'atzma. So there was a Tana who quoted now a bright in front of Rava, as opposed to our Mishnah, that says that everybody seems to be made of Mitziyata Isha Levala, that actually it's a machlokas, and that according to the Tanakama, the first Tana says over here that she gets to keep her own mitziyot, and Rabbi Akiva is the one who says that it's leva'ala, like the gears in our Mishnah. I mean, actually, there was another gears which Rabbi Natan had, but he says in the end, he had charot of him. So, Omar Lei, Rava told this Tana, how's that possible that it should be Rabbi Akiva? Hashta umaha dafa, the maaseyadehi. In a case where a woman produces more than the minimum that we learned about in the Mishnah, the Chomish Slayimar, so Slayim the Galil. So that's called Ha'adafa. As we learned earlier, Ha'adafa, there's a takona of Ha'adafa for the allowance that he's given, that he gives. So that was a machlokes, whether it was Beseris, Kenegad Ha'adaf, or but in any event, Rabbi Akiva holds that Ha'adafa, Amasa Yadeha, is Liatzma. So he's the one who Dafka says anything that she has that goes above and beyond the absolute chiyuv that she has to the Baal, she gets to keep for herself. So mitziyata, we're over there. Bechlal, there was no sharkas to the Baal. I mean, list over here, the ikra maaseh adayim, there was a sharkas to. But mitziyata lo koshekei, it's not. How do we know that Rabbi Akiva holds that a woman who is ma'adif is Allah, keeps her own money? Because it says, Konim Shan Yoseh, Masa Lepicha, Enot Tzarech La'afer. The Mishnah Dorim says that if a woman assers her husband Behana'ah on what it is that she makes with her hand, there's no point in his even bothering to be Mefer, because it's not hers, since she's already leaned, basically, she's Meshubit from her time of her Ketuvah. So what's the problem? Whereas Rabbi Akiva says, no, it is Kedai to be Mefer, because there might be a problem. Where would the problem come? Shema ta'adif alav yoter min haro'ilo. Because maybe she would end up producing more than is absolutely necessary, and then it would go to her. So in other words, we see that according to Rabbi Akiva, he is the one who is, Dafka gives more rights to the Isha than the Tanakama. And here you're telling me that it's the Rabbi Akiva is the one who says that what she finds, Mitziyata, should go to the husband, and the Tanakama argues and says the Mitziyata goes. Does that make sense? Well, you're right. Ella Epoch. You know, it must have been that the Tana got it wrong. It should say like this. Mitziyata Isha Leva'ala. According to the Tanakama, that's the Tana of our Mishnah. And that if she finds something that goes to the husband, was according to Rabbi Akiva, indeed, it would be La'atzma, and then that would be consistent with Rabbi Akiva's opinion in Hadafa, so that if she makes more than is Ra'u'ila, so then Enochinami, that would be hers, and so too if she finds something, that would be hers. Problem is, says the Gemara, that we are very, very much oversimplifying, because V'haki'ata Ravin Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ravin quoted Rabbi Yochanan when he came now from Eretz Yisrael, as explaining that ha'adafa is not a simple issue. There are two types of ha'adafa. So, be ha'adafa shaloa yideatcha, kule hamalo plige de baal havi. If she is producing, basically, she's just a very productive person who at the time that other people sit around working at half speed, she's extremely reserved. It's just the way that she does things. She doesn't put in any more time than anybody else. So over there, everybody agrees that if she's doing the norm and it's just worth more, that for sure hadafa goes to the husband. Keep pleading the hadafa shal yedeat chak, what we're talking about over here, which really pushes herself. She sleeps less and she doesn't take off the time that normal people take.
That's against her five measurements of
that. That's against her.
So if she's an actor?
Well, yes and no. I mean, that's, remember there was a machlokas, whether that's against the five measures of wool, which was a model for her production, or whether that was against the allowance. That was, right? You remember that was a machlokas, whether we go according to what's katsuv, according to what's katsuv, or what's matsui, according to what's matsui. But in either event, it's set up as a tit for tat. What you were going to ask, remember, is dependent on her ability to say, look, I'm making more money than you're ever going to give me anyway. So forget about supporting me. I don't need your support. So since the whole takana over here was for the purpose of helping her, not hurting her, so therefore we could say, she can say, I don't want the takana that was made for me. It's not helping me. And she's not mechuyev to accept his support. Once she's not mechuyev to accept his support, then she just doesn't have to share anything. Just try stuffing that in the mouths of the people that say that the rabbis are, you know, paternalistic. So anyway, so here, where is the machlokus, says Robin, that this is what Rabbi Yochanan said. She has to put in extra effort. She puts in extra effort, extra time. So there the Tanakama sover lebala, and there Rabbi Akiva sover la'atzma. And our assumption at this point is that finding something is like is the equivalent of working shaloi de'atchak. I mean, you see something lying on the floor. So that would mean that even Rabbi Akiva ought to be melodious. Where's this machlokus coming from? According to Rabbi Yochanan, everybody agrees that if she just picks up something or wins the lottery, so then for sure it would be Laba'ala. Omer, if Papa, well, yes, but you're making a mistake in the assumption. Your assumption is that a mitziah is generally viewed as in the category of malacha shelo ayadeyatchak, adof shelo ayadeyatchak, but that's not true. Because the finding comes to the prepared mind. And therefore, she is clearly a beachcomber, you know. And that takes a lot of time. She's looking for mitzias. Most women do. That's what they spend their time on all the sales. So it's a lot of work. So mitziyatak kehadafasha ayadehatchak. So actually, we put mitzia, since most of the time it's problematic, and you need to spend a lot of time looking. So actually, the original beachcombers, Rashi says, is that you find fish. That have flipped up onto the beach. There's original beachcombers, or maybe fishermen have dropped, or so on. So, okay. So, well, she actually searches for treasure, says Rashi. It was a treasure search. She might have found the Titanic.
You know?
Yeah. So, no, they use those little sticks. the water protector. So, if this is Hadafa, it's the equivalent of Ayadea Tzach. And therefore, indeed, it's dependent in the Machlokas of Rabbi Akiva. And there are abundant, and so in the middle, we find the Kushitas that we found at the beginning of at the bottom of Amud Beis, at the beginning of today's daf, is indeed consistent with the machlokas of Rabban and Rabbi Akiva. Boy, Rav Papa, there's a machlokas on the forsh in how to understand the following Abaye of Rav Papa. Where the Abaye of Rav Papa is being asked only if you hold that Ha'adafa is according to Rabbi Akiva. And the Shaila is, we're about to ask what appears to be the equivalent of the previous discussion, namely, Astalo Shtayim Bevatachat. Now, she does two things at once. So what would be the halacha over there? Now, what it's really talking about, the pashtus is that it's talking about the equivalent of now a Adafa Ayadeh Atchak. And the Shaila is whether doing two things at once is called Ayadeh Atchak, because it doesn't take her more time. But, let's say that she was hired to be a watchman. She's supposed to be watching a garden. At the same time, obviously, she could still be doing her knitting. So how would we view that? But that would only be if you would hold l'chora, that there's a nafkamina between hadafaya de'atrach or hadafaya shaloya de'atrach. And if you hold like Rabbi Akiva, I can ask, is this considered to be la'atzma, or do we say, since it's a completely different malacha, we would view it as completely extra, and it's coming along really for free. But others find that the question is, according to everybody, even according to the Rabbonim, this is a different category. It's something, so to speak, it's like having a time turner. You're able to do two things at once. Or for that matter, Boy Ravina, you can do three or four things at once. So Rashi says, well, you know, what you could do is if you're watching the garden, you're getting paid for watching the garden, you could also keep eggs under your arm at the same time and hatch them. But it's interesting, it actually was a minute. It actually was a minute, not chicken eggs, but silkworm eggs. And there were many shilas. There was a lot of chuvas on this. There was a whole period of time which people used to make a lot of money hatching silkworm eggs. You would keep them in their underarms. It's very amazing. There's all kinds of shilas. You've got a Shabbos. It's considered to be Muxer. Since you're not doing anything. It's absolutely wild. So maybe they are. And at the same time, of course, she's still able to do her knitting, which is, and not to mention that she's also a voice trainer. So there she is, training all of these people on how to use their voices properly. And she's doing four things at once.
Multitasking.
Yeah, the original multitasker. So, I mean, it could be she's making an awful lot of hadafa. Would that make enough? I mean, all of the above cases, take it. Welcome on, Richie.
Ah, thank you very much.
And all you people out there can now pick up your...
Yeah,
there you go. You could pick up your virtual poke Richie stick. Boshta upgama. Maskif la Rava Barachana. I don't understand how this works exactly. You're saying the husband is supposed to get, according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Basir, the husband is supposed to get the boshet and the pagam of her, and we sort of split it up, that she gets a certain part, and he gets a certain part, as if it's his boshet. But if you're telling me he's zochet somehow to her tashlum, okay, but now you're splitting it. So there's an element of boshet that's nogea him, and an element of boshet that's nogea her. How in the world is there boshet that's nogea him? I mean, what's enough? Somebody insults a guy's horse. Terribly insulting. He insults a guy's horse. Yeah. So now the guy should be able to sue for boshet because you insulted my horse. I mean, in other words, if there's boshet, what does that have to do with him? You're telling me I suffered boshet because you insulted my wife. You can say the same thing about your horse. You insulted your horse. I mean, boshet is something, it's damages that is done to you directly. You can't be machai of a person for that. That would be called a groma. What, you call my Jaguar a Pontiac? I'm suing. You can't go to sue. But you feel embarrassed, but that's like a groma. He says, what kind of ridiculous question? Sus, my boshet, how do you insult a sus? It goes on all the time in the government. I don't know what the problem is. But anyway, how do you insult the sus? That's the question. Because, in other words, what you're missing over here is the fact that it might be that he has boshet in her boshet, but there needs to be boshet. Where's the boshet? There needs to be an act of boshet. In other words, certainly there has to be a recipient of actual boshet. You want to say once there is a recipient of that boshet, then he shares it. That's one thing. But don't ask me from a sus where the act is not an act of boshet. Okay, fine. So I'll ask you something else. A guy gets now an element. I must tell you, by the way, there are two very, very different ways of understanding this whole subject. And they're based on this fundamental distinction. Is the boshet that he's getting his chelek in her boshet? Or does she get entirely boshet for whatever she suffers, and he is suing separately for the fact that he is suffering boshet based on the fact that his wife was insulted? Or that his wife was damaged in a way that now she doesn't look good, or whatever the situation is. And that, as you can imagine, is going to lead to different interpretations and actually to different yirsa'ot. So let's assume now that what we're talking about is you need to have actually been pogea in the person. And that's the Gemara's problem. And if you're not pogea in the person, so then you can't be mechayev boshet. And that's what we're asking now. Rakak b'digdo shel chavero. Somebody would spit on a person's clothing. So you'll say that he's b'chuyev to be mabayishim. I mean, that's not direct attack against him. So hachinami de boy lemeitin le boshet. V'chitim hachinami, maybe you'll say, why not? Who's to say that boshet is something that has to be an attack against my actual person and not against extensions? What's not? Rakak v'higiyo boro. If somebody spits and the spit actually falls on that person, or para rosh ha'isha, or you uncover the head, the hair of a woman in the market, a married woman, or ha'avir talito mimenu, or you tear off somebody's talit, that's like the Irish, in those days, no underwear, you know, what they wear those kilts. Yeah. No, take off a guy's kilt, it's pretty sad. So in those days, I mean, that was the robe that they would wear. It was basically the equivalent of a word of underwear. So over there, if you're ma'avir talito mimenu, so instead of having a normal court case, which everybody has to be estimated according to the level of the Chachomim made certain things that are common. They made certain things a predefined suit. You did anything like that, it's $400 on the spot. Chayev liteno arbama yatzus, and that's otherwise, can you imagine where the courts would be? We'd be stuck behind 10 million suits the way they are in the U.S. You know?
Is that 400 suits like the 200 suits
of the Ketubah? Well, that's a machloka, yeah. But according to some, because it depends which Zeus we're talking about. That's the common Zeus. That was Machlokas, I was Sham the Ketubah. V'yomer Rav Papa, lo shanu elo bo. Rav Papa says, note, it says, rakak v'yigia bo. Bo means it actually hit him. Avo bibigdo patur. If it hit the beged, so then he would be patur. Yeah, but, I mean, that's not comparable. Because, I mean, that could be bibigdo, let leizeluta. When it hits his beged, now, the girsa that we have here is this. He has no zeluta, but ishto it la zeluta. Now, according to this, what we're saying is very simple. The concept of his taking busha has to mean that there was an object that was directly mevuyah, which would only mean a person, obviously not a sus, not a bed. And now, yes, the person himself, and anything else indeed causes busha, but it causes busha. To cause busha is like causing damage, but that's a gromer, not chayav on gromer. You're only chayav on direct damages, unless it's included in mamono amazik, like a boar, berushat arabim, that type of thing, but that's not a gromer, that's a boar. So talk about the boar in your rishos. So if you do something that causes another person to be physically damaged, you're potter. I mean, there's inyonim of chayav de shamayim and so on, but you're potter in court. So too, you cause the person to have busha by doing something to his beggar, that's also a cause, that's a nigra. Masha'in came by the woman, there is a direct creation of busha in her, which he shares. Now that would be the way to learn the sugya, if we understand that the sugya is taking for granted that he is getting a chelek of the wife's busha, because this is something that involves him, that he suffers from. If you learn that it's a separate issue, she has her ziluta, and he has the ziluta, then obviously it doesn't help to tell me over here, idla ziluta. You'll have to change that here to read, idla ziluta. In which case, we're simply saying the facts. And there are also facts that are not absolute. They're reasonable under most circumstances. That in the case of the beget, there's no real deep insult that somebody did something to my beget. Somebody does something to my wife, there is a deep insult, and that's the difference. But that means that the Gemara would be taking for granted that as long as there is an object of busha, real busha, then the individual doesn't have to be necessarily directly attacked. You can cause busha, and that's called a direct attack vis-a-vis busha. These are very different approaches. But according to that, it would say, bibigdo let leze luta, ishto it leze luta. Not that we're looking for an object of busha. Simply, he wouldn't suffer the busha, and here he does suffer the busha. This is basically my focus, the Rashi and the Tosafot, on the one hand, the Ran and the Rashi, on the other hand, who argue that we're talking about two different things. We're not talking about her, we're talking about his busha separately from hers. Elami Ata, says the Gemara, Amar Levina Ravashi, starting again from afresh, not continuing the circuit. He's asking like this. If you're telling me that a person has a right to sue for busha that was caused to his wife, so then you could say the same thing about a whole family suing for busha that was caused to a member of the family. So let's say if somebody would be Biesh Ani, who's a Ben Tovim, so the Itla Ziluta, the Kula B'nai Mishpachas, you can say the same thing. The whole family should sue, and everybody can sue individually, and I'm suffering because our poor family member has been embarrassed. So Finami, the boy, the metal, and Bosha, the Kul B'nai Mishpachah. Omar Lei, Hatam Lav Gufay, Ocha Ishto Ki Gufay Ave. So here, we introduce now a completely new issue. Is it possible that he's only getting, even according to those shittas that are saying that he's getting a separate busha, but of course it needs to be a busha that would be a busha that reached his goof, except that we're looking at his wife as an extension of his goof. Fine. So it's actually a very major bavakana sugya, but not that much of a suda sugya. So it's a fascinating question. What is the source of the busha that was given to him? A guy, father-in-law, decides, he likes his son-in-law, agrees that he's going to be putting in $1 million into the bank for them, so then that guy goes and dies. So it ends up that she falls in front of a yavam. The yavam wants $1 million. I don't like you. I like your brother. But I never intended to give, and therefore there was never, they never ended up getting married, and he died before he got to the chuppah, he was never zochah on this money. You can't tell me I should give it to you that I agreed to put it into the marriage? Now, in general, paska lach nislo elef dinar. In a case where, let us say, we have this in our ketubah, hu pasak kedegdan, remember that whole piece of the ketubah. And here's where it comes from. Suppose there is an agreement. She has decided she's bringing in $1,000 in cash. He has to write in the ketuvah, "Hu posek kenegdam chameshetzre mona," 1.5 instead of 1,000. So in other words, $1,500 he writes in the ketuvah that he got from her. Why is this? Because since he has all the rights to the profits, it just isn't right that he should be sham that money only according to the principle. And therefore, we feel that over the course of a reasonable life that we hope that they will have together, she deserves a little bit extra. In the case of divorce, he's been using this money to invest, and therefore he gives her 50%. So he has to be posek kenegdan. Of course, 50%, remember, is a third. So he's posek kenegdan chamesha seimon. Mashenken, when we're talking about keneged hashum, hashum means that it needs to be estimated. So in other words, let's say she brings in now a whole load of linens and of plates and beautiful silver and whatever it is. So now we call in people to estimate the value, and we're going to write the value of the dunya in the ketubah, that he is mitchayev to her in the event of his death, and so on. Now, generally speaking, when you do that, people have a tendency to exaggerate the value. Because, after all, it's a kala, the same way she's younger than she really is. She's bringing in more money than she really is. Because of that, what he writes in the ketubah is actually less. And he, posek, who posek pachot chomesh, he writes one-fifth of the value less than it actually was. Because that is what you got to figure was the exaggeration factor. Okay. Now, this is only where we're posek, bebeit chatanut. Because that's where people exaggerate, like what a kala and so on. In a case where we have shum b'mona, v'shava mona, how about if she brings in a mona? And it is seriously worth a mona. In other words, they go before this whole beit chatanut thing. And then, in that case, they make up that there's no deduction, because I want this done seriously. We'll go to an assessor before we come to the Beit HaChatanut. And over there, in that case, of course, there is no deduction. However, there is also no addition, because the addition was being given for cash, and cash is investable. But what are you going to do? Well, you're not going to invest her linen. You're not going to invest her silver platters. So because of that, fine. It's whatever it was. So there's no addition, there's also no subtraction. So if it's shum b'mona v'shav b'mona, ain't no elamona. On the other hand, suppose there was an agreement to be shum b'mona. Now, that means that if she expects, she says, okay, write down in the ksuva that I'm bringing you in a mona. Now, that means that she has to understand that she's got to make up for the missing chomesh. Because he had every right to expect that for writing down a mona, the assessor is going to actually give him 1.125, right? Because he's supposed to be adding now that additional chomesh. So she's got to give him that additional chomesh. He no tenet, shloshim ve'achat selah v'dinar. She's got to pay 31 selah and a quarter. There's four dinars in each selah. So that equals 125. 125 is one-fifth. Remember that one-fifth is figured from the total. So one-fourth of the original amount equals one-fifth of the total. So she gives him now the extra piece that because he put in 1,000. 1,000 really in a Beit Chatanut has to be equal to 1 and an additional 1.25, right? So that's what she gives him here. Babar Bameot. Now this seems to be very redundant. The Gemara's going to say, what do we have to keep giving examples for? So if they agreed at a $400 Shuma, she has to give him $500 worth of linen. Again, in the Beit Chatanut. So Masha Chatan Posek Uposek pachot chomesh. And if first they do the shuma, this is what it's supposed to be, and she brings in now that amount, doesn't matter what it is, he writes one-fifth less. Again, very repetitious. Tomorrow's going to be trouble. Why all of this repeating the same idea four times? Why can't she just say it straight? Now, talking about the first part of the mission.
When does all this take place?
When they're writing out the ketubah, which is bringing in the lesson.
That's the table.
Yeah, well, nowadays we do it then. I mean, obviously, we saw that there's some people right at the Erisin. Oh, yes, it is. Except that nowadays we take a general form and we write a certain amount. But in many places, they still will write. And the Svardin will make a big deal of writing in everything. Yeah, absolutely, sure. Because it's part of the cover. I mean, they exaggerate a lot, but it's part of the cover.
I guess that was like this.
What's that?
We know the men really like
sure, there are plenty of ketuvot. Ketuvot are collectibles, you know. There's plenty of ketuvot. They're very cute. They have all kinds of things in them. So Tanu Rabbanan, in the case where the guy, the original chatan, died, and now the yavam wants to collect the money, and the father-in-law says, I don't like you. It's not only in a case, it's a continuation of the Rabbi Akiva Maisa that we had in the previous paragraph. Right? So it's not only in a case where he's coming with a taina. The $1 million I gave to the best guy in Lakewood.
You're a schlepper.
No, not Rabban. No, I feel a region on my heart. It's Mishenit Amal Chochans. Yochol Omar Lachicha Yiti Rotzelitain. Lachayev Shilatain. Your brother was a good businessman. I was going to give him $1 million. He was going to make money. I'll give a schlepper like you $1 million. You'll end up using it up in no time. I don't want to give money to you. Doesn't matter what his excuses. Toskalach Mislo Elav Dinner. Why are we saying this again? I know how to make the same percentage analysis. What we're talking about, 1,000, and we're talking about 400. I'm not stupid. And what do we have to say in both directions? You have to say, or if she had brought it in, that's what he writes, or if she had agreed to bring it in, then this is what she has to bring in. Obviously, it works in all directions. No, I mean, what's the Mishnah saying? You gave me an idea. Let me apply the idea. Don't give me four different examples, two where they had agreed on a certain amount, now she's got to deliver, and two where she delivered, and now they have to define what it is that they're writing. Says the Gemara, no. That's because I know Reisha, it's not the Reisha. Tana Shuma Rabba, Vekatani Shuma Zuta. Tana Shuma Didei, Vekatani Shuma Dida. I mean, look, I have to know that it doesn't, I mean, I might have thought, if you're talking about somebody brings in a whole truckload of stuff and so on, you know, there's a lot of excitement that the derechist exaggerate that more. If you're bringing in, everybody sees, it's pretty poor kind of the dunya. And over there, they're not going to exaggerate to the same, even the same percentage. They have to be a little bit more reasonable. Or vice versa, where he agrees. That's not true, says the Mishnah. This is the standard that we were koveya, whether this stuff is already here or whether he's writing it down and she has to deliver. And it doesn't matter whether we're talking about a big shipment, we're talking about a small shipment. This was the kviyut that was made as part of the standardized relationships between the chosen and kala. They hadn't figured that one out. Actually, they had. The father used to give the Beit Chatnut, no, at least his first one. That's where the simcha took place. But don't worry, not for children and grandchildren. I mean, not for grandchildren and great-grandchildren, only for children. Go ahead.
So wait,
Paskalach Nislo Ksafim, if she had now we're talking about the opposite direction when we're talking about money. Before we spoke about when she brings in the money. So now, if there was an agreement that she was going to bring in money, and now this money is going to be used basically for him to invest. So the din is over there, that sal'a, one sela, becomes now shisha dinarim, as we said, because you're supposed to add one third, which is one half of the original amount. So every four dinner becomes six dinner. If also she brought in money, there's another issue which is fascinating, and that is that the katan, besides agreeing to add 50% of the original value onto what he will owe in the ketuvah, he is also mekabel alav asara dinarim lekupa. For every mana, lechol mana or mana, he agrees to give 10 dinars. In other words, 10% goes to the kupa. Now, exactly what the kupa is. I mean, he opens a bank account for her, and this is a pikadon. Actually, it turns out that this is a special allowance for perfumes.
Perfume.
Yeah. Which, of course, includes the whole, I don't know, the whole Avon line. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, this they did not make standardized. It's actually akokim in Haga Medina. The other things that are standards, this is not standardized. Okay, now getting back again. He was poor, he's rich now. He just walked off with her millions. Isn't it fair that she should get a little bit of a failure in the millions? Now he's a rich yeshiva boy. It's only if she's bringing him money. Well, what do you mean, where's he getting from? The case is she's bringing him money. No, only if he dies. Then the insurance company handles it. And he better not divorce her. So, it says to Gemara, now wait a minute. Now you're doing the same thing that you did before. Before you gave me four examples of what it is that happens when she brings in a shuma. I thought at least we didn't have to explain away the amount of money four times, and now you're doing the same thing with the money. So that we interrupted to tell us the halakha of shuma that is pochet. And then how it affects her if they had originally made it, and what happens if it's done. Not in the Beit Chatan. Then we're getting back now in this Mishnah to how much money. So again, you're telling me the same halacha. 1,000 becomes 1,500, and guess what? 4 becomes 6. Brilliant. I mean, I really need a Mishnah to tell me that. I know Parsha connect them with Hamashiach Raymond. I understand. You said that at the opening of the Mishnah. I'm an olive. You said that 1,000 becomes 1,500. Ah, the Tana Iska Rabba, the Tana Iska Zuta. There's a big difference. Remember, we're talking about this. Iska means investment money. When it comes to investment money, I need to know both directions. Why? Because you see, Tzricha, Itana Iska Rabba, the Nafish Ravach, on the one hand I could focus on the profits. Potential profits of more money, okay, you make more percentage-wise, so we shouldn't just prorate it. If you got a lot of money to invest, the rich get richer. And therefore, we ought to be able to give a little bit better return on her money, because she's bringing in a lot of money. That's what I would have thought. So in Iska Zuta, the Zuta Rivcha, maybe the Chachomim weren't conveying that amount of profit, 50%. Emalot Zricha. On the other hand, she'll say, okay, so just tell me Iska Zuta, not for sure, no, Iska. Iska, no, because I could have thought, you know what, that maybe Iska Zuta, the Zuta Ziyuna, Abel Iska Rabba, the Nafish Ziyuna, Emalot Zricha. You're talking about now an Iska Zuna, an Iska Rabba. Usually, if you're making a big investment, you've got big expenses associated with it. You got already to take out insurance policies, and you got to worry about handling Social Security. But God only knows what you're going to be up in your nose with. So the male over there, we ought to give her less. Because even though she'll be making a lot more money, but in terms of prorating it to say that just because if she gives four, she gets six, doesn't mean if she gives 1,000 that she's going to get 1,500. Because maybe 200 of that is going to go into overhead and, you know, all kinds of things. That we were covet in this fashion in all directions. That means our kibbutz goes both for the iskot and also for the shumot. Boy, I see the mosquitoes had a feast.
Mosquitoes, tsetse flies.
Tsetse flies.
Tsetse flies. Oh, much worse than the mosquitoes.
Forget it.
My legs are just...
Welcome home.
Yeah, thank you. Nice to be back.
Yeah. We actually have some elephants here.
Do we?
Yeah, because in Armenian, every time there's a guy who is really enamored of children's books, so every time the chazan says, Baruch Atah Hashem, this guy says, Bar Bar Shmo. So there's no problem. Just come to Davin in Armenian. Drives me absolutely up the wall. Bar Bar Shmo. Okay. Hakasan mekabel alav asara dinar lekupa. 10% of the money that she brings in, he has to give her for the kupa. What's the kupa? Omer Ravashi, kupa shel basabim. It's talking about she's got to have an allowance for perfumes. Omer Ravashi, well, nemru dvarim alav b'Yerushalayim. I mean, in Yerushalayim, they had very high standards of perfumes. I mean, there's a lot of money we're talking about over here. There's a lot of discussion about why Yerushalayim is so valuable, but it certainly has to do with the Ketores. So in Yerushalayim, he just asks what happened to the whole the Gemara. He says there's a whole line. I mean, that just smells. There's a whole Avon line. I mean, what about the Pilatories? I mean, there was once you're doing better with the Psalmim, you're going to need all types of additional values that you need to. So Fakir, that makes it even more. Okay. I mean, he brings in the whole list, you know, the Pilatories, silicon fillers, mud packs, the whole thing. Okay, so that's in Yerushalayim, they had very high standards. Boy Ravashi, are we talking about the mana ha-nishon or the mana ha-mitkabel? We're saying the kol mana o-mana. Is that referring to the cheshben? That's the, in other words, pachot, obviously, the esrim achuz. Exactly, bruto or neto. Imtim tzalomer, mana ha-mitkabel. Now, this imtim tzalomer is not really imtim tzalomer. It's just taking for granted one side. But that's just to indicate to us what's more reasonable, but it works exactly the same way as Tosafot points out in both directions. What are we talking about? I mean, obviously, this is how Tosafot understands it. Both Tosafot and Rashi have trouble with the Gemara. Tosafot understands that what is this supposed to mean? It can't mean 10% per anything. Because does it really make sense that what? He's going to give her 10%, so if he gives her 10%, what, every day he's going to give her 10%, every week he's going to give her 10%, so then nothing's going to be left of the money after 10 times. I mean, so what could that possibly mean? Therefore, it says, look, it must mean that he has set aside the value of 10%, but obviously he gives this to her over a period of time. He has a right to spread it out. So the question is, maybe in the excitement of the marriage, he should open up an account for her. So she should have her own kupa, shall besamim, a trust fund for besamim. Yes, absolutely. So not to have to worry how much you're paying the Avon man. This is unbelievable. So he just walks in and she buys. Of course, in the end of 3 years, she finds out that she's put up a bill that's 10 times her kupa. That's usually what happens. But anyway, so is this now, is this mitkabel yom rishon? So do we pay it out right away? Or is it, this how Tosafot says, o kol yom v'yom. Or we spread it out per diem. And when you say, let's say it's per diem, over what period of time? Is it over the first week for the Sheva Brachas? Is it the Shabbat Rishona? Or do we, no, it goes over a long time. Kol Shabbat v'Shabbat. Let's say that you say it's per week. Over how long, many weeks? Is it per week over the first month, Chodesh Rishon, or is it for many months? And let's say you think it's for many months. So then is it for the first year? Now this last piece really messes up the whole story. Oh, Kol Shana V'Shana. So if this means you're planning on shooting her after 10 years, then you can spread it out over 10 years. But otherwise, how exactly are you supposed to... What's the Kol Shana V'Shana when it doesn't... Take it. Om Rav Yud Om Rav Maaseh V'Bito Shanak Dimon Ben Gurion Shepaskula Chachamim Arba Meyot Zehuvim L'Kupa Shabisamim L'Vo V'Yom. It was a Maisa. Nakdimon ben Gurion was from the Ashira Yerushalayim. And his daughter, as you can imagine, had quite an impressive wedding and quite an impressive ketubah. So the amount of money that brought in at 10% was 400 zehuvim. And that was given on that day. Now, actually, as Tosis points out, we'll see later on that the ketubah was 1 million zehuvim. And therefore, this is ridiculously low if he's supposed to be giving 10%. But as Tosis points out, I mean, there's a limit to how many Avon products you can buy, and therefore there is an upper limit. So our Bamiot, they decided that's what they're going to give her. So they gave her that for that day, and she was furious, and she cursed them, and she said, "Kein tifshikul v'notechem, you no good rabbis." And they said, "Amen."
Alavai.
Onu acharei amen.
This time they said
amen. The other time when she was a shomer of Yavam, the case was that wasn't a good idea to say amen. Tanu rabbanan, ma'aseh Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, shaya rochev al hachamor, v'yotzei miYerushalayim. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai was once on his chamor, leaving Yerushalayim, v'yu talmidav ma'alchin acharav, his talmidim were behind him. Ra'a riba achat shaitam alaketet zorim, mibein gilalei behemtan shel arviim. She sees this beautiful girl who's going around taking up little pieces of barley that are between the droppings of Arab animals. So Kivan Shirao, the moment she sees Rav Yochanan approaching, Nitatva v'sa'ara, she covers her hair, and Amda Lefanav, she stands in front of him. Amralo Rebbe Parnaseni, Amarla Biti Miat, who are you exactly? Amralo Batnak Timon Ben Gurion Ani. I'm Nakdimon Ben Gurion's daughter. Amarla Biti, Mamon Shabet Avich, Echan Alach. What happened to your money, the family's money? Amralo Rebbe, Lokedei Matlin Matlab Yerushalayim. Don't they have this saying in Yerushalayim, Malach Mamon, the best way to preserve money is chaser, lose it. Meaning, give a lot of tzedakah, which my dad didn't do. Or, Malach Mamon Amrila Chesed. Okay, he said, but your father-in-law had so much money. What about, and he was a big Baal tzedakah. What about your father-in-law? Meaning, the in-laws. Heichanu. Well, you know, when one of them goes, the whole thing goes. Because of the fact that he was a guarantor, you know, is what happens in families, so it's the end of it. Amrolo Rebbe. So she starts talking to this Rebbe. Remember when you signed my ketuvah? He turns to his talmidim and he says, oh my God, I signed her ketuvah. And I read her ketuvah. And I then the ketuvah had that she had brought in 1 million zehuvim. So we're talking about $100 million she had brought into the marriage, and that's besides what came in now from the rest of the family. Bocher of Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai started to cry. We are Mar Ashreichem Yisrael. Bisman shosim ritzano shel makom in kol umah v'lashon sholatet b'hem. When they do HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon, nobody can stop them. That was the whole ma'aseh with Nakdimon ben Gurion, that he was able to get God to make it rain and the sun should shine in the night. So, but they're in the lowest class. That's the Arabs. And the Lorak, not only in the hands of an Umash Vela, but what a bizarre. To walk behind Mela, to walk behind a good Western horse, but an Arab horse.
It's like a remnant to secular Zionism.
Well, Esther Gemara, what are you talking about? Nakdimon Ben Gurion was from the greatest Balik Tzedak in all the history. Nakdimon Ben Gurion, lo avat tzedakah. Vatanya omru alav al Nakdimon Ben Gurion, kishaya yotzei mi beito lebeit hamidrash. Every day, he walked from his house to the Beit HaMidrash. So they would spread out a red carpet, a very expensive material. Klei milat ayu metziim tachtav. And he would leave it there, aniyim would come, they would pick up the pieces of material, and they would be mitpardes from it. Imagine what that cost him every day. Well, first of all, maybe that wasn't really l'shem mitzvah. Maybe he took a lot of pride in the Shoah. V'ibaydeima, or it could be, it was right, it was wonderful, but he could have afforded a lot better than that. He didn't do as much as he could have done. Kiriamre Yinshik, people say, Lefum Gamla Shikma, the load goes according to the camel. I mean, you don't put on a Honda what you put on a Mack truck, but the Mack truck can carry. If not Bimon Ben Gurion was a Mack, then he should have carried like a Mack.
Do we learn from this it's okay to, you shouldn't just give automatically?
Yeah, yeah, of course, sure. Well, you have to know how much to give.
It's interesting, by Shikha, you see that you get Shikha, even if you don't have any Kavanah, but you give it Shikha, it's not really that's Kavanah. Kavanah is not really a full Mitzvah Tzedakah.
No, it's not Mashmah, it's not Mitzvah Tzedakah. It's just Mashmah that doesn't have this mile of Malach.
By Shikha, we say that you don't have any.
Tanya, Omer Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Tzadok, Ereh b'nechama, himlor idiya shaita melaketet se'orim midein tlafei susim ba'ako. I saw her also, and that was in Akko, and she was collecting, again, barley from underneath where the horses were walking and trampling. And I, karati ala mikraze, himlor teit ilach hayafa b'nashim, you beautiful woman, Klal Yisrael, if you don't get to know how it is to keep the Torah and to do the Ratzon Hashem, Tzi'ilach b'ikvei atzon, go follow the animals, or iya gediotayach, al tikrei gediotayach ala geviotayach, go find your own body's sustenance by walking after the tzon and picking up from between their droppings. And that was the remez for Yofa b'Anashim. So here he sees this beautiful woman. This becomes our remez, the Klal Yisrael's entire situation.
What's the Pashas in the Pashas?